Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. As I was praying about this morning message, I knew that I was preaching in the evening time, and a pastor asked me to preach this early service as well. I was thinking about the time of the year. It's the middle of summer. It's been hot. We just finished a very busy time with leadership conference. And as I prayed about my church, my home church, the place of the people that I love and I care about, the Lord seemed to bring this passage to mind, and I hope it'll be the encouragement to you that it was to me. Philippians 4, beginning verse 4, the Bible says this: Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, and be careful there means worry about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. As we reach the dog days of summer, I'd like to preach this morning on think on these things. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being home again. I thank you for this church, for what it means to me. I thank you for many, many friends here that have been a blessing to my family and to so many others. And Lord, I pray that this morning, as we look at your scripture and as we think about what we're to rejoice in and what we're to think on, that you'll encourage our hearts to go forward and do what we ought to do and be what we ought to be. Lord, we acknowledge publicly that in this, as in all other things, that we need your help. Lord, I pray that what is said and done here this morning will please you and will honor you. We ask for your help, and we do hide ourselves behind the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last Monday night, I was driving through the town of Rockford, Illinois. I'd been preaching the last several days up in Wisconsin and Madison and Oshkosh and Black River Falls. And we'd come down, and I was kind of looking forward to going to Rockford because I have a good friend there, a friend of over a quarter of a century by the name of Dr. Paul Kingsbury. Brother Kingsbury, many of you have heard him here, whether at a couples retreat or deacons fellowship or in our church. And Brother Kingsbury always encourages me. Brother Kingsbury is the one person that West Coast Baptist College has given an honorary doctorate to. He's had three of his own daughters graduate from West Coast and has another daughter, Jody, who will be a freshman here this coming year. And we pulled into town, and Brother Kingsbury heard I was there with the mixed trio and the piano player, and he said, "Hey, wait a minute, we'll go out and get a bite to eat." And we went to a place there, and it was called Ruby Tuesdays. I like Ruby Tuesdays. They have a great salad bar. They really do. I probably went to that restaurant 6 or 7 times this summer, and every time except one, I had salad bar. I did have a brief moment of backsliding one time, but the rest of the times, I said, "Ruby Tuesday, that'll be great. We'll go get a salad." And we sat down. Now, it's interesting. When I get around Brother Kingsbury, he encourages me. But as Paul Harvey says, there is a rest to the story. You see, Brother Paul and Diane Kingsbury, this dear husband and wife, that have faithfully served in the same place for 33 years, have a daughter who's 22 years old, who has the mental acuity of a 2-year-old. How would you handle that? And yet, as she sat there at dinner with us, as I watched her mother clean her face, I sat there and I marveled about the fact that Brother Kingsbury is always rejoicing. I did not bring up his daughter's name is Janelle. I have prayed for her and they're praying about her situation. She was able to stay in school till she was 22. And I wrote him a note. I wrote Mrs. Kingsbury a note, said, "I'm praying for you as you care for Janelle." But I thought about the trial that they're under, that God has allowed them to deal with. And I thought about the fact that this man has a great attitude. This person has a great spirit. And the Lord brought my mind to this passage. And as I drove, I began to jot down some thoughts. Actually, I didn't jot them down as I was driving. I had the young man sitting next to me jotting them down. I said, I want you to write down some things. Because as I talked to Brother Kingsbury, you know what he kept saying to me? He says, God's been so good. God's been so good. And friends, I hope that touches your heart the way it touched my heart. We sat there that night, and this man with his great spirit shared with me how good God has been. He said, well, could I have breakfast with you tomorrow? And I said, sure. And I was going to leave at 9 o'clock in the morning to go on to our next church. He said, why don't you meet me today? And I'd just like to talk to you for a little while. And we went there, and he was talking about the goodness of God. And I was encouraged. Let me say this, my friends. I believe it is incumbent upon us that we too should be an encouragement to other people. That we too should be a blessing. And I believe that we will be if we will, as the Word of God says, if we will think on these things. This morning I'd like to share with you very simply some things that God would have us to think about. Yes, even in the heat of the summer, even when it gets 104, my wife always shares with me the temperature. You know, it's 104 here today. Went soul winning. I was sweating. That's not a happy thought, you know. And I think that happened just Tuesday out with Mrs. Rowell. And she was telling me about this. It was hot out here. And she'll share with me the temperature. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But it's a situation that regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the weather, regardless of what happens in our life, God says and commands us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I firmly believe that if we'll think on these things, we will rejoice. Number one, I encourage you this morning to think about the fact that we are part of the family of God. Friends, I'll tell you what. As I heard the songs this morning about the cross, I was encouraged. As I saw some friends this morning here at the church, I saw Mrs. Roach, I saw the Riscalas, and I saw others who are friends of mine, I was encouraged. I am so glad that I am part of the family of God. When I think of the family of God, I think first of all about having a Christian home. Now, I was privileged to grow up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. My mom was a fine Christian lady. And they were a great example to me. And you may be saying, well, Dr. Rasmussen, I'm not part of a Christian home. You could be the start of the chain. Your home is now a Christian home. You've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior if you're a believer. And now you have a Christian home. And now your children could talk about their Christian home. I'm thankful for my home. I was preaching somewhere Friday night in Peoria, and I was thinking, my wife was speaking somewhere. I had one daughter in Michigan at that time. One daughter was in North Carolina working at a camp, and all of a sudden it hit me. You know, sometimes you're sitting on the platform and something hits you. And what hit me was, Mark is home alone. And that's what hit me at the time. And if you have teenagers, you understand. How many of you have a teenager in your home? Would you raise your hand? Maybe we greet get over by the piano after the service and have a group hug. And no, I'm thankful for my son. But I was thinking about that, but I'm thankful that my family have all accepted Christ as their Savior. That's a blessing. I'm thankful that we know that heaven is our home. So first of all, this morning, if we'll think on the fact that we have a Christian home, friends, that's a wonderful thing. I was out knocking doors a week ago yesterday, and I was in Madison, Wisconsin. And it was an interesting time, and the place where they took us, it was a more difficult area, shall we say. And I saw a lot of things, again, that I hadn't seen really since years I spent in the bus ministry. And you know what I thought about, Brother Furso? I said, you know what? I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful. I talked to my wife last night. I said, I'm thankful for how you keep the house. I saw some things I hadn't seen for quite a while. And by the way, you know what those homes need? They need Jesus. They need Jesus, because Jesus can be the difference maker of their home. As I was there visiting and going out and thinking about that, I thank God for that. I'm thankful. If you have a godly heritage and you're a young person here and your parents are saved and they've directed you in the right area, that's something to be very, very thankful for. I've had an interesting thing happen to me in the last couple of weeks. Our high school class, I graduated in 1975, is having our 35th reunion. Our class is kind of unique. We've had a reunion every 5 years. And I've been to all of them except one, and this year they put me in charge of it. Willie DeLeon doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be cooking. It's going to be awesome. And I'm looking forward to that in a few weeks. But all of a sudden, people start talking about their days going to a Christian school. And some were complaining about legalism. But I've been reading these things. Well, it's a school my parents started. My dad was the pastor, the superintendent. My mom was the principal. They poured their life into it. And I've been reading these things, and I've been thinking, making little notes, because I'm going to write a send-all note when it's all done. But a number of people said, growing up there in that situation helped to make me what I am today. And so, first of all, this morning when we think on these things, let's think about the fact that we have Christian homes. Secondly, I hope that we'll think about our church home. Let's think about our church home. Ladies and gentlemen, I have had the privilege of preaching since May the 12th. I've only been home about 6 days, and I've been in over 60 churches since that time. I think I've had a total of 5 off days where I haven't preached somewhere. Folks, let me tell you, this is not the norm. It's not like this everywhere. And there's a lot of good churches that I rejoice and I praise the Lord for each and every good church out there. But folks, we are greatly blessed to be here at Lancaster Baptist Church. I was thinking this morning as I was going over my notes. It's interesting. I have now attended Lancaster Baptist Church as far as an adult, you know, longer than I did the church I grew up in at home. My dad moved to that church when I was 5 years old and I left when I was 18. I'm starting my 14th year here. I'm thankful for this church. When I think about our church, I think about a soul-winning church. I thank you for Pastor Chaplin, Brother Furso, who encouraged me to become a soul winner. Pastor says, keep the main thing, and the main thing is soul winning. Folks, we belong to a soul winning church. That's a wonderful thing. You see, soul winning is what really makes a difference. That's what brings about great life change. Not only life change, but eternity change for people. I'm thankful that we have a soul winning church. I'm thankful that our church is what I would call a sanctified or a set apart church. Our church is a little bit different from a lot of churches. Most churches, you could come as you are and leave as you were. Pastor Chappell encourages us to live a holy Christian life. The Word of God says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I'm thankful that we have a sanctified church. Now you may say, well, I don't really like that. I'm thankful for it. And I believe someday when we look back, we'll thank God for a pastor that held the standard high. Right? It's very easy in life and in ministry to accept mediocrity. I'm glad we have a pastor that wants to hold the flag high. So we have a soul winning church. We have a sanctified church. And also, we have a signature church. You will never understand this as a layman at Lancaster Baptist Church. But it is an amazing thing how many churches look to our church. That's why we need to keep on keeping on. It's amazing how many people use the curriculum from Striving Together Publications. This year, having over 300 more folks, full-time Christian workers, come to leadership than ever before. It's an amazing thing. I heard one man said, my life was changed hearing the testimonies. I believe it was a Wednesday night. He said, changed my life. He'd never been here before. I could tell you his name, Pastor Joe Coburnot. Never been here before, came and heard that. He said, amazing. He goes, that changed my life. What a blessing to be part of a church that is an illustration to others about what they ought to be doing. By the way, you are the church. The church, you see, my friends, is not this building here this morning. The church is the baptized body of believers that God has called to serve Him. The word in the New Testament in Greek is called ekklesia, a called out assembly of baptized believers. Of all the times the church is called, and I know you say, well, there's people who are saved, they're all part of the bride of Christ, and that is certainly true. But of the 116 times that it's used, 112 times it's a local assembly of baptized believers. That's what we are here, friends. We are the church. We are Lancaster Baptist Church, if you are a member here. So first of all, we think on these things. I want to be thankful for my church home. I want to be thankful for my Christian home. The Bible says in Psalm 147 this morning, as I was thinking about praising the Lord, I read what are called the praise psalms, Psalm 145 through 150. And it tells us time and time again to praise the Lord. God wants us to praise Him. And I believe this morning it's very easy to praise the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord, and to think on these things when we think about our Christian home and our church home. Secondly, this morning, let me encourage you as we enter, if you will, the dog days of summer. Let me encourage you to think about the blessings of God. Have you ever heard the song, Count Your Blessings? Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Boy, I'll tell you what, God has been good to me. When I think about God's blessings, I think about the most recent college CD called Stand. There's a song on there. It says, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Friends, God has blessed us. I encourage you to think about the blessings of God. When our children were younger and all three were at home, we would sometimes play the thankful game as we drove. And we would go around, and each person would say five things they're thankful for. We'd just keep going. It's amazing. Now, of course, you talk about your family, your salvation, your church, your school. But you know what? If you really work at it, you can keep going for a long, long, long time. We have so much to thank God for when it comes to the blessings. We need to think about our blessings. I believe God wants us to have spirits in our heart where we are thankful. The Word of God says that everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When I think about God's blessings, I think, first of all, I think often about hearing Brother Salazar. I saw him this morning. He often is known for saying, God's been good all the time. And He is good all the time. So what are the blessings that we are experiencing today? I think, first of all, about the earthly blessings. I live in America. I'm thankful to be an American. I'm thankful that I get to live in America. I like to read history, and I have spent a lot of time writing postcards. The first leg of my summer, I've written all the students in our college and my Sunday school class and some friends in the church and things like that. So I haven't read a lot. I usually try to redeem the time by writing cards and working on different things. But I did read about a U.S. submarine called the U.S. Tang. It was sunk near the end of World War II. It was the only submarine that was sunk where some men were able to survive. Out of the 134 men, 9 men survived. A few were blown off the bridge, but some survived from 160 feet down. Amazing story. And how that happened, by the way, they were all captured and went to Japanese prison camps after that occurred. And they survived that. One of the men was down to 80 pounds when he was rescued. When I think about America, I think about men who fought for the freedoms that we now enjoy. I am thankful for the American military. I am thankful for the United States Constitution. I am thankful for godly men who had a plan for a place that would be different from many of the countries where they came from in Europe. Friends, I am thankful to be in America. You say, well, Dr. Rasmussen, it's not perfect. I know that. But you know what, folks? We are blessed to be here in our country. I hope we think about our country. I hope that we also take the time to pray about our country. Are you praying for a country? And by the way, if you want your country to remain a great country, I believe the most important thing we can do is to be the Christians that God saved us to be. You see, if we are going to be salt and light, we will help our country, America. I'm thankful for the blessings. I'm also thankful that I get to live in Lancaster. You may say, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. When Pastor Chappell first talked to me about coming to Lancaster, unlike many of the young staff members, I had been here before. I grew up about 80 miles away. I used to come out to Lancaster, Palmdale area to ride my motorcycle. There were a lot less people out here then, and I'd go out here, and I knew there it was desert. And a pastor was telling me that there was a beauty in the desert, things like that. I'll tell you a little secret, folks. I have spent the last 50 or so days in Humidville. In one day, they told us the heat index was 114 degrees because of humidity. I got off the plane last night at LAX, and I said, Southern California, hallelujah. Man, it was unbelievable. I was preaching. I was down at a place called the Hoosier Hills Camp. And I walked in there. It was a morning session. There was a guy there who was significantly bigger than me. I mean, we're talking full grown. And I had taught him in school years ago. And his name is Phil. I won't say his last name. I walked up to him, and this man was copiously sweating. And it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. And I go, brother, how you doing? He goes, I'm raining, you know. I don't think I'll ever forget that, you know. And for years we spent up in northwest Indiana where we had humidity. My wife, praise the Lord for her. We lived at home for 5 years with no air conditioning. That humidity. By the way, I don't believe she ever complained one time. Tried to kill me a few times, but never complained. And, you know, I think about being up there, and I came out here, and I'm going, you know, I like Lancaster. I'm thankful. You say, well, Dr. Rasmussen said, you know, you just say that because you're supposed to. There's no humidity. There's no mosquitoes and roaches. They've all died of thirst. And I'm thankful for that. That's a blessing. You know, I'll tell you what, you get out there on the road in some of those places, all of a sudden, we were... If I'm lying, I'm dying. We were sitting in a diner with a pastor, And I was with the quartet. This is about 3 weeks ago. It was after the evening service. He goes, "This is a great place to eat. It's awesome." And one of the guys picked up his roll of silverware and a roach ran right across the table. I mean, just one corner to another. Falls to the floor. Guy stomps it. The pastor's wife says, "Let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about it." I was no longer hungry at that time, you know. So, you know, I'm glad I live in Lancaster. You say, "Well, what about the wind?" There's no smog. You say there's dust. How about the beautiful sunsets? I'm thankful that I get to live in Lancaster. You know what, folks? We're blessed to have a Christian mayor. I'm thankful for that, who loves our church and our pastor. I'm thankful for people here that, in large part, love our country and serve our country. I'm thankful for not only my country, I'm thankful also for my city. I think sometimes it's so easy for each and every one of us to be the kind of folks who say, "Well, you know, with earthly blessings, you know, I don't have much." We have much. We live in America. We live in Lancaster. Not only do I think of earthly blessings, but this morning I want to remind you that we ought to rejoice in the Lord. We ought to think on these things because we also this morning have spiritual blessings. Friends, we could go on for a long, long time in talking about this. I'm thankful for the music of Lancaster Baptist Church. It often encourages my heart. It stirs my soul. Leadership, I just think of Brother Jones singing a minute ago. I enjoy hearing, my son said last night, he goes, "He's my hero." You know, he goes, my son, he likes to imitate him at home sometimes. "I want to sing like that someday." And I'm just thinking, Brother Jones, where was this guy when I needed him for college tour group? Man, this guy sings great. He's a blessing. That was a blessing. The music during leadership conference, that was a blessing. The choir this morning, that was a blessing. Friends, let's not take that for granted. I drove by a church this week. I saw on the billboard, why they put this on the billboard, only the Lord would know. It said, "No Sunday school, no choir during the summer." I saw that this week. No Sunday school, no choir for the summer. Friends, I can promise you, at Lancaster Baptist, the choir is going on. The Sunday school is going on. I'm thankful for that. When I think of Christian music, I think about the preaching we hear here from our pastor. What a blessing as he opens up the Word of God and he exhorts us to do the things that are right. Folks, I'll tell you what, we have a great expository preacher. And I want to remind you to think on these things. Friends, don't get used to it. Do you remember when you first came here? I remember when we first came here, I'm going, "Man, this preaching is awesome. This is great." Well, now, in our 14th year, I want to remember how blessed we are with the preaching here. When I think of the preaching, I think of the visitors that Pastor brings in here. People like Dr. Ouellette, people like Dr. Gibbs, hearing Dr. Getch every year in the winter revivals. He challenges our hearts. What a blessing is ours as we're here at Lancaster Baptist Church. I think of many other things with Lancaster Baptist Church to think on these things. I think of the leadership conference. I think of the youth conference. I think of the missions conference. I think of the revivals. I think of all the things that are spiritual blessings that we receive here in this place. I told someone just recently, I said, "You know, I know this isn't Maui or Kauai. I know it's not San Diego. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to ever leave here because of this church. This church has ministered to my heart. I'm thankful for the spiritual blessings that happen time after time after time. I'm thinking of spiritual leaders that we have here that are our examples." But often I say this, and I'll email this to you or just print it off and give it to you. I got an email a few days ago from a young lady that Brother Lofgren picked up on her bus route. She couldn't spell your name right, but it was obviously your name. 19 years ago. 19 years ago. And because of that young lady being picked up, Mrs. Smale was one of her Sunday school teachers. She remembered, didn't spell her name right either. "Welcome to my country with Rasmussen. It's an amazing thing. You can spell it any way you want, just not Rasputin." Okay, so the Brother Lofgren picked up this young lady. She got saved here riding the bus route. What a blessing. And to make a long story short, this young lady came back to Lancaster, was working at the Outback Steakhouse. And Brother Anthony King gave her a gospel tract and she invited her to come back. And this young lady, her name was Silky, came back and she was sitting right down there in that second row with that couple sitting. And I went down to speak to them after service and found out she'd already been saved. She told me about the bus route. Didn't remember Brother Lofgren's name at that time. And I talked to her grandfather, Sal Medina. And I said, "Sal, is this your first time here?" "This is the first time I was ever in a church that wasn't a Catholic church." I said, "Can I come by and see you?" And I went by to see Sal Medina that week with my son Mark, and Sal Medina got saved that week. And that was a blessing. I talked to him about getting baptized, and Sal, who sat down here so faithfully for the last, since 2008, for the last 3 years, said, well, I work on Sundays. I said, well, you're a Christian now, so you need to change that. And he said, well, I need to give him a notice, and he did. He said, I'll get baptized in 2 weeks. And 2 weeks later, he came back, and he was sitting in this row, and someone else was with him. I said, who's this? He goes, this is my grandson, my granddaughter and her husband, Aviana and Gabe. And I asked them if they filled out a visitor card, and they said no. I said, can I come to your house? And that week, I took my wife with me, and they accepted Christ as their Savior. And I said, now you saw Sal get baptized. You need to get baptized. They said they would. 2 weeks later, they came, and someone came with them. And it was his dad and his mom, and they came. And I said, you fill out a visitor card? No. We hadn't started giving out books yet at that time. And so I said, can I come to your house? And that week, I took a student, Matthew Lee, who just graduated this year. We went to their home, and they accepted Christ as their Savior. But the rest of the story, Brother Lofgren, the part you don't know, is the Saturday before leadership, 2 weeks ago yesterday, I had the privilege of preaching the funeral for Sal Medina. People got saved at the funeral. That's a wonderful thing. But as I drove back with my wife, she went down, she sang at the funeral. I couldn't help but think it all started with a church that raised money for a bus ministry. It picked up a little girl 19 years ago. That name is Silky. I'm thankful for the Lancaster Baptist Church. Friends, we can rejoice in the Lord always. We can say, Lord, you've been good. I've got some good things to think on. When I think about our church, I think about the music. I think about Brother Schmidt with the amazing job he does with the singles, the teenagers here. The great teen camps we have here. I think of Brother Guy leading the music department here and the music we hear week after week. I think of Brother Earl. I think of EJ, people who are faithfully in their place doing the things they ought to do. I think of ushers who serve, just helping, making things better. Folks, it wouldn't go well without ushers. I think about people who are laymen, who are out right now on the buses. People like Brother John Downey. I think of Brother Thorogood. I think of Brother Phil Chapman. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for people who've stayed in their place. I'm thankful for those who are driving the buses this morning. I'm thankful for those who are working in the nurseries under Julie Hanna's direction, who are faithfully staying in their place. I'm thankful for people that some of you might never know or ever notice. I'm thinking of Ida Ward, who since before I came here, comes in this auditorium after every service, straightens every hymnal, and puts offering envelopes in the pews. I'm thankful for people who've been faithful and been in their place. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I have much to rejoice the Lord always for. You see, Satan wants to discourage you. The Bible says this. It says, he is the discourager of the brethren. But God's word tells us to rejoice the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God's word tells us to think on these things. I wonder, do we ever think about those who sacrifice their day off and go out to work on those bus routes on Saturdays? Boy, I'll tell you what, when you think on those things, that will encourage your heart. I think of Jim Ballou. I think about God saving him, and then God saving his life a second time, despite a horrible accident, as he gave his testimony just a few nights ago. I'll tell you what, when you think on those things, it will encourage you. It'll speak to your heart. It will help you to be what God would have you to be. So since we're supposed to rejoice the Lord always, and since we're supposed to think on these things, let me encourage you to thank God for your earthly blessings and thank God for your spiritual blessings. But finally, this morning, when God tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and when God's word tells us to think on these things, I believe above all, God would have us to think about our salvation, the salvation of God. I have told college students for many, many years that the second most important decision you make in life is who you marry. And I firmly believe that. I think it's something that needs to be prayed over and thought over. It's something to certainly seek counsel on. Who you marry can make a great difference in one's life. But there is another decision that's far more important than who you marry. And that decision is whether or not one accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as one Savior. That is the singular most important decision in our life. Everything else is dwarfed into utter insignificance in comparison to thinking about our salvation. Friends, sometimes in our life we're so busy doing things that we forget to think about salvation. This morning I want to encourage you to remember some things. I want you to remember the place where you were saved. Do you remember where you were saved? Some of you, I know where you were at, probably in your home. Some of you, maybe it was here in one of these rooms on either side of this auditorium. Maybe out in the courtyard on Open House Sunday. Maybe at work. Maybe you prayed in your car. Maybe in your bedroom, as my dad did, as he knelt by his bed and said, "Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I want you to save me. I don't want to live the way I'm living. I want to make sure I go to heaven someday." Folks, I hope you remember the place of your salvation. The place where you were saved. If you'll think about that place of salvation, that will encourage you. I encourage you to think on those things. Remember where you were saved. Secondly, this morning, I encourage you to remember the person of salvation. And his name is Jesus. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. What a wonderful thing to be aware of the fact that Jesus is the difference maker. Oh, how he loves you and me. I hope you remember the passage of salvation. I remember this to this day. It was Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I love the fact that it says whosoever. The Bible says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Today in Christendom, one of the great battles that's raging is over the issue of Calvinism. I really don't want to spend a lot of time arguing about that, because to me, the Bible says all. To me, the Bible says whosoever. Whosoever. What a wonderful thing. I encourage you today, my friend, I encourage you to be the kind of person who says, "You know what? I'm going to try to daily, or at least weekly, to stop and think about the place where I was saved, to think about the passage that was used to bring me to the Lord Jesus Christ, to think about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible says, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not." Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 10. Thine own friend, Jesus, is the best friend any of us have ever had. The greatest friend. On this world, my wife is my best friend. But Jesus gave his life for us. He came to die so that we could live. And friends, at a time when Satan tries to discourage us, when Satan tries to get us down, when Satan tries to say, "You know what, you're going through this, you're going through that," and he tries to concentrate on the economy, he tries to concentrate on maybe the political situation, maybe even a familial situation, let me remind you this morning that God says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. You say, "But you don't know about my job situation." You know, folks, when God says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," there's a period there. It doesn't say rejoice the Lord always unless you're going through tough times. No, it says rejoice the Lord always. God wants us to have a rejoicing spirit. As I thought about this, I thought about people that I've been around who have a rejoicing spirit, how they edify me, how they have an encouraging spirit, an uplifting spirit, an edifying spirit. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is something that God would have us to do and to be to other people. Will we make a difference like that in our Sunday school class? Brother Bishop, I was telling Brother Furso about you this morning. I have a lot of people talk to me about leadership conference, and they talk about pastors preaching. They talk about the workshops of Brother Furso and soul winning. And I told Brother Furso, I said, "You know who the person I hear about a lot? Brother Rick Bishop. Because he seeks to be encouraging and edifying to people." What a wonderful thing. What an encouraging thing. By the way, friends, let me remind you this morning that our attitude is a choice. Our spirit is a choice, because the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." We can have a rejoicing spirit. You say, "Well, I've got cancer." Let me encourage you to rejoice despite the cancer. You say, "You don't have cancer," but I've known people who rejoice with cancer. Lori Thomason was one. I preached at a church in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Years ago, the pastor there, his name was Dan Parr. Dan Parr preached up to just a few days before the Lord took him home. His body racked with cancer, rolling up to the pulpit. I remember so well, on oxygen, Dad Parr said, "God's been so good to me. God's been so good to me." As I was preaching there, I did not know if he had family there, but I mentioned him that Sunday morning. Pastor Love, Ben Salem, Pennsylvania. Ben Salem Baptist Church. A lady walked up to me. She said, "Would you talk to my children and tell them about their grandfather?" It was Dan Parr's daughter. I said, "I would be glad to." And she said, "He was such an encouragement to everyone he was around. And yet he was rolling around a green oxygen bottle and a little wheeled cart." Friends, it may be summer. We may be going through some difficult times. But I can promise you, if we will obey the commands of the Word of God that tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, the command of the Word of God that tells us in verse number 8 that we're to think about things that are true, honest, just, lovely, good report, and then think on these things, that I believe that we truly can make a difference in a lost and dying world. This world needs some people who say, "You know what? I've got much to be happy about. I've got much to rejoice in. And I want to thank God for His many goodnesses to me." I believe with all my heart, if we'll do that, that God will use us to make a difference in those who are around.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.